welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Such is the reading of Matthew 28:19-20. Our text mentions the subject under consideration, that of baptism. Baptism is one of the prominent topics of the New Testament. While everything that is called Christian is certainly not Christian in the biblical use of the term, we're told that some 95% of those who call themselves Christians practice something or another that they call baptism. Now, this of itself speaks of the prominence of the topic and the recognition of man of its prominence. Unfortunately, there are fewer subjects over which there has been more controversy and division. For instance, people sometimes talk about the mode of baptism, and by that they mean either sprinkling or pouring or immersion. Friend, the Bible makes it plain that baptism is a burial, Colossians 2:12, Romans 6:3-4. The Greek word baptizo means to submerge or plunge beneath. Only immersion is baptism. There is division over whether there is one or three baptisms, because there be some that practice what is called triune baptism, meaning they are immersed once in the name of the Father, another time in the name of the Son, and a third time in the name of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:5 says there is one baptism, and that settles it. For those who respect the Bible, triune baptism is not Bible baptism. And there is division over whether baptism is in water or is it the Holy Spirit baptism. There be some who claim both. The Bible teaches the baptism of the Holy Ghost was for the apostles. Ephesians 4:5 says there is one baptism. The baptism being preached and practiced at the time Paul said one baptism was water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Holy Spirit baptism was never commanded, but it was administered by Christ. The baptism Jesus mentions in Matthew 28, of which we just read, is a commanded baptism and administered by men. And some have even created controversy over who is to do the baptizing. Denominations have made laws that only their own so-called ordained can baptize. What matters, friend, is the person being baptized, not the baptizer. And there is division over who is to be baptized. Some baptize infants without any biblical authority whatsoever. The Bible teaches that the proper subject for baptism is one who understands the gospel plan of salvation, having been taught, and is able and does believe, and having heard the word is able to repent and confess his faith in Christ. Then he is a proper candidate for baptism. Some even quibble over where a baptism must take place, whether in a river or a pool or somewhere else. It doesn't matter at all. Nor does it matter when one is baptized as far as the day or the hour. All this confusion and controversy and division is absolutely unnecessary. It simply would not exist, except that men have substituted and added to and taken from what God's book reveals, and have demanded that others conform to their denominational laws and rituals and traditions. God has spoken, and that settles it for those who love God and His Word. It is not that we cannot see the Bible alike, we're not hearing it alike. Too many are not even looking at it at all, but only following their clergyman, their parents, or some other. Why must one be baptized? This is our study for this present lesson. We wish to present only five biblical reasons why everyone must be baptized. You see, friend, we must know what we're doing when we're baptized. We are to obey from the heart, Romans 6:16-18, and that requires understanding of why. Going through the right forms, but without any comprehension of the significance of it, is to be baptized for the wrong reason, and it is not obedience to the command of God. We must understand what God has taught as to why one is to be baptized. Now, first of all, let us suggest that we should be baptized because Christ commanded it. And this may sound oversimplified, but this is reason enough to be willing to be baptized. Now, there's more to it than that. There's more to know. Just here we're dealing with our submissive spirit to Christ. He commanded, and we should obey. And he made it a condition of salvation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16. You know, when Peter went to the house of Cornelius, he commanded those people to be baptized, Acts 10:48. You can only do one of two things with a command. You either obey it or you disobey it. Now Christ said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, John 14:15. It is unreasonable, friend, to contend that you love the Lord but will not obey his command. You're just not willing to do so. Hebrews 5:9 teaches that Christ became the author of salvation to them that obey him. It's unreasonable to contend that you're saved if you have not obeyed him. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do the things which I command you, John 15:14. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say, Luke 6:46, words of our Lord. It's unreasonable to claim him as Lord and friendship with Christ, but refuse to obey his commands. Well, one may ask, why did he command it? Well, that's a reasonable question. But let's suppose we never learned anything more than what we've already learned. This is enough for us to be willing to be baptized. If not, then something is terribly faulty with our submissiveness to Christ. Now there is more to be learned. And we shall discover much more before we are through, Lord willing. But John wrote, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, 1 John 5:3. Each one needs to ask and to answer, but going further, is the fact that Jesus commanded baptism enough for me to be willing to be baptized? If it is not, you just as well quit listening. If you're convinced, however, that you must obey the Lord, then let us study more what the Scripture says concerning baptism and the reason for it. It is not sufficient to simply to be baptized in order to obey the Lord as if that's all there is to it. Acts 19, the Apostle Paul baptized some people again who had been baptized to obey the Lord. But their baptism was obviously faulty, it was inadequate, it was invalid, and Paul corrected the matter. You see, friend, baptism is for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Man is lost because of his sins, Isaiah 59:1-2. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Sin brings death, James 1:15. Baptism is to wash away sins, Acts 22:16. Baptism is to be saved, Mark 16:16 and 1 Peter 3:21. Now, when Peter said to be baptized for the remission of sins, the word for is from the Greek word eis, ace. It does not mean because of, but in order to, all the Baptist clergymen notwithstanding. Not once does eis mean because of. Rather, it is a word that points forward, not backward. The thing for which one repents is the same thing for which he is baptized. One does not repent because his sins are already forgiven, but in order to their forgiveness. And so the same thing is true of baptism. Just read Matthew 26:28, and you will have no difficulty with what the word ice means. It's found in an identical phrase as found in Acts 2:38. There we read the words of Christ, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. Christ shed his blood for the remission of sins. Did Christ shed his blood because sins were already forgiven? Why, certainly not. He pointed forward to the forgiveness of sins. It was necessary to the accomplishment of the result. And the same thing is true concerning repentance and baptism, as Acts 2:38 teaches. Matthew 26:28 tells us what deity did that we might be forgiven. Acts 2:38 tells us something that we must do in order to be forgiven. Ace means unto, not because of. We do not want anyone to deceive us with a false definition, friend. And just here it is well to state that just being baptized, that is, just being buried in water, is not enough. Some have been immersed, but for the wrong reason, with faulty understanding. Some have been immersed thinking they were already saved and were baptized as a sign of their salvation. The Bible never presents baptism in such a fashion. Some have been immersed to join some denomination. Never was anybody in the Bible baptized to join a denomination. Denominations did not even exist. In Acts the 19th chapter, we learned that some had been immersed under John's baptism, looking forward to the coming of Christ, but they had been baptized by an invalid baptism because Christ had already come, and Paul took them and baptized them again, this time for the right reason. For this is exactly what those who have been baptized for wrong reasons must do. But baptism is to get into Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27, for as many of you as been baptized into Christ, did put on Christ, the same thing is taught in Romans 6, 3 and 4. You see, salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ, Romans 8 and verse 1. All spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. How does one get into Christ? Both Galatians 3:27 and Romans 6:3 and 4, both of the passages of Scripture that answer that question, tell us how we are baptized into Christ. Doesn't that tell us why to be baptized? Certainly it does. One is baptized to become a member of the Lord's church. One is not baptized to join some denomination. The church is the body of Christ, Ephesians 1:22-23, and there is but one body, Ephesians 4:4. Christ is the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5:23. If we are saved, we must be in the body which He saves. Nowhere do we read of many churches or choosing the church of your choice. In Acts chapter 2, after Peter preached the word, and the people heard it and believed it and obeyed it in baptism, Acts 2:47 says, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. God adds the saved to the church. That's what the church is, the body of the saved. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 teaches that we're baptized into one body. The baptism under consideration is the baptism that was being preached and practiced when people were added to the church in Acts 2, namely, water baptism for the remission of sins in the name of Christ upon penitent believers who had confessed their faith in Christ. Friend, you see, the Bible teaches that baptism is the way that we reach the saving blood of Christ. Now, this thought shows us more clearly the connection between baptism and salvation. We often sing the song, "What can wash away my sins?" and the answer comes ringing back, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Friend, there are so many passages that emphasize salvation by His blood. We have been washed clean by His blood. Our redemption is by His blood. The book of Hebrews emphasizes that it was by His blood. There's no question in Romans chapter 5, we're justified by His blood. We're saved by the soul-cleansing blood of Christ. Make that certain. Make that sure. Understand that for sure. But when are we saved by His blood? How does one reach that cleansing blood? Now, while some have complained that baptism bypasses the blood of Christ, friend, the truth is, baptism acknowledges the blood of Christ. Baptism is not what some have disparagingly called water salvation. It's blood salvation. Baptism is no more water salvation than the healing of Naaman from leprosy in 2 Kings 5 is water healing. The power is not the water. Nobody has ever taught that taught the truth. The power is the blood of Christ. But where has God provided that blood to be applied? Listen now. Scripture tells us, I hope we're open-minded to receive the word of God, Romans 6, 3 and 4, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Friend, let me ask, where did the Lord shed His blood? Was it not in His death? John chapter 19, 33-34. Paul says by baptism we enter into that death, and we enter into its benefits. This is when the blood of Christ is applied and washes away our sins. Water did not wash away Saul's sins in Acts 22:16, but the blood did when he was baptized. Baptism saves, Peter says, 1 Peter 3:21, but it's because that's when the blood of Christ is applied. We die to sin, we're buried in water, we're raised from the spiritual death to spiritual life. This is the likeness of his death, of his burial, and his resurrection of Christ. Now these are 5 reasons to be baptized. These ought to be enough to convince anyone who respects the word of God to simply obey the command of the Lord. As to why one should be baptized, friend, it is necessary to salvation. It's been commanded. It's for the remission of sins. It's to get into Christ. This is the way we enter into that company of the saved, which is called the church. It is where we reach the blood of Christ. Now, we've learned what the Lord says about it. What do you say about it? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.